I am Reverend Arabella, and it's nice to see so many familiar faces and some new ones. Welcome, welcome. During Advent so far with Reverend Kristen, we've explored a lot of things. You guys remember? All right, we explored faith like a mountain, right? We flowed like a river of peace. We learned to love like a ocean. And today, I am so humbled and honored, I get to talk to you about joy like a fountain. Yeah. And particularly Advent this week reminds us, and I did not memorize this, and I want to get it right. So let me read it. This week of Advent is important because it's the week the angels who appeared to the shepherds in the fields nearby to announce that a baby has been born in a manger. The angels described Jesus' birth as good news of great joy. Not little bitty, oh joy, but great joy, right? Because he came to show us how to save ourselves. That's pretty good. So when I was reading over that, I meditated a little bit, and I'm like, that's the energy we want to attune to together today on Sunday. How joyous would that be if we were actually there witnessing that baby, that purity named Jesus, who gave us the gift of saving ourselves. Like, wow. Is that not a wow? Come on. That's a wow. Yeah, let me hear it. Yeah, there we go. So, joy. Let's talk about joy. And I love, hold up your bears, audience. Yeah, that childlike joy. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but I'm going to put you right there, buddy, so I can express myself in joy as the fountain. So many years ago, I was in a spiritual community. No big surprise. I'm a minister. And we had a sacred ceremony. I guess you guys do the white rock thing where you write a word of intention on. I just learned about that today. So this was one where we wrote a word of intention after we meditated and visualized and prayed together of what we were going to bring to the community, because the community was in transition. And what, you know, at large, we're going to have our intention of being in the world. And my word came to me really fast. And this is something, if you are overthinking or questioning or whatever, that's probably not the right answer. The right answer always comes like this. We always know. Sometimes that answer we talk ourselves out of, though. Okay? So I knew instantaneously what my word was, what I am here to be in the world, and I wrote it down. I joyfully stood in line. We took our turn, and up at the front of the stage was, guess what? A fountain. Yes, Tyler, there was a big fountain. No surprise. So, did you hear this? You heard the story? Oh, David, you heard the story. Yeah, so I'm standing in line, and I'm just kind of in this bliss, holding my piece of paper, because this is my intention. This is what I'm going to be in the world. And I kind of am a serious gal, like I take intentions seriously. And other people, I was listening, and this person is, I am love. I am peace. I am song. I am healing. Each of you might have some intention in your heart right now. It might be bubbling up for you. What are you? And it was my turn. I was so excited, and I got behind the fountain, and I literally took my paper and went, I am joy! Because I kind of am. And I put it into the fountain of consciousness, where it dissolved together into the collective. I want you to think about that imaging. That's the fountain. It's the fountain of consciousness. And what all of our little individual heart intentions that we bring to the world go into that consciousness. Isn't that beautiful? That's the fountain. So how many of you would like to feel more joy on a consistent basis? I want to see some hands. Anybody want to have more joy in their life? Good, 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 good. So metaphysically speaking, joy is actually our natural state of being. I'm just going to let that land. Joy is our natural state of being. So then what is the deal. Like, why are we not in joy all the time? Why are we going around life poo-pooing it and sad and all of that? Like, why? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And here's the second question. Have you ever thought something or someone stole your joy? Oh, I see some heads going, So let's see some hands there, too. I'll put both hands up. You know, my experience with that is I had been married. I was here a couple months ago, and I share with you guys about my journey, and I had been married for a very long time, and I surprisingly met this other person. I'm like, open my heart, changed my world. He was tall and gorgeous and smart and funny and made me feel all these things that I had never felt before, things I didn't even know I wanted. And in one fell swoop, my joy went, goodbye. He chose someone else without telling me. And I went, you stealer of joy, and your girlfriend too. You know, I've had other experiences where, you know, a job went away or someone didn't like me and you're such a thief of joy. I'm unhappy because you've stolen it from me. And I see a lot of heads shaking. So here's the thing about that. Since divine joy is actually our natural state of being, which I'm going to repeat over and over and over today, so it sinks in. It means no one or no thing can ever take that joy away from you. Okay? But a lot of times we put people or jobs or the house we live in or the new car, the new sweater, we make that our joy. And then we wonder why we don't feel good all the time. Because it's momentary, right? Here's the thing about eternal joy of the divine lifts us up. It actually lifts us up out of our human state, beyond our human abilities, into being like a fountain of our divine truth, our God self. Can you even imagine? Just be open to imagine. It might land in 2, 3 days or weeks or months. I'll check back with you guys. It's okay. So on this journey from going to pointing at other people for stealing my joy, here are some of the ways I would like to share with you today. How do we start tuning into the true, eternal, divine joy that is residing, but we've covered it up with all this stuff? That's why we don't feel it. So, first of all, let's start with Eckhart Tolle, who I'm a huge fan of, I will talk about often. And he says, as soon as you honor the present moment, all unhappiness and struggle dissolves, and life begins to flow with joy and ease. Anyone want to join me in practicing some joy and ease? So ease, it's very important. I'm focusing on that because that's when you know you're in the present moment. You feel in ease. Like when we were sitting here meditating, if you partaked in that, ease, not resistance, not keeping it together, ease, okay? And you can practice that in your body, just being in ease. So staying present means you're not longing for something else. You're not longing for something to be a different way. You don't have any fear of missing out. Everything is great in the moment of presence. And when I talk about presence, I always have to pull on this quote, and I always pronounce his name wrong. I think it's, I always want to say Lao Zhao. I think it's pronounced Lao Cha. And you guys have probably heard it. If you are depressed, you're living in the past. If you have anxiety, you're living in the future. If you are at peace, You are living in the present. Right? Right? So, when you are at peace and you are in ease, you are fully in the present moment. That's a really big esoteric goal that you can do in your human experience. Because life is going to continue happening. Okay? I'm not saying that grief is not going to happen. We got babies born, we have people die. We lose jobs, we fall in love, we get divorced. Life is very, you know, flowy. So we're not saying that that is going to go away. However, the joy of being in the present moment means no matter what is happening outside of you, you're still going to be maintaining joy. And I see some faces going, oh, that is not possible. And I can tell you for a fact, it is possible. It is possible. I am a walking example of it. And I know many in this room that live in presence. Is it easy? No. If it was easy, everyone would do it. That's what my first spiritual guru actually taught me. And I didn't like it very much when she said it. But it was true. It was true. So going back to Eckhart, one more thing. It's a tool. He can really help us learn to not confuse relative happiness with eternal joy. So relative happiness. We talked about shopping at the 9:30 service. Does anyone like to go shopping? I like to shop. Does anyone like to shop? Come on. Come on. Come on. Shop. Buy a car. Buy a new power tool. Jewelry. Whatever it is. Okay? So I'm just going to give my example. I was looking for a new fuzzy warm sweater, you know, in this perfect shade of gray. And I wanted it to feel a certain way. And I went to, where'd I go? TJ Maxx or Ross? Ross. I went to Ross. Hey, Ross. I went to Ross and I found it at the perfect price. And I had the perfect parking place. And I didn't have to wait in line. And it was like, wow, this is so wonderful. I'm in so much joy. No, that would be relative happiness. That would be relative happiness. Relative happiness is based upon something exterior to us, on the outer, whether it's a sweater or whether it's this supposed love of your life. And what happens when those things go away? You know, the sweater in 2 years from now is probably going to have pills on it, and I've probably, you know, I always spill when I eat, so it's like it doesn't have stains on it, and that perfect sweater is no longer going to be perfect, and I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever. Am I lying? No. You guys know what I mean. So eternal joy within us, once we start living it and breathing it in an alignment with it, is always there, whether you're taking the garbage out or, you know, sharing a laugh with somebody that you love. It's always there. Nobody can take it away from you. So how do you stay present? We're going to talk about spiritual toys. Now, I used to use spiritual tools. However, tools kind of implies this is going to be work. I don't want to journal. I don't have time to meditate. I don't want to go to yoga class. This is hard. It's work. Tools kind of has that energy of it's going to be work. So it's a minister friend of mine, a very good friend, who I love and adore, and they use spiritual toys. Because you really want to be in that childlike energy. You know, Panda wants to journal. It's fun to journal. Yay, I get to play with my colored pens. Right? You're changing the energy around it by changing the words. So spiritual toys can be, first of all, you know, yeah, you can practice mindfulness, journaling, yoga, and you can go for a walk in the woods. You can wash dishes and be mindful. Mindfulness is when you are so engrossed in something that you don't even realize 4 hours has gone by. Does anybody have any hobbies where you get lost in those hobbies and you look up? It could even be a book or I do that with painting. Okay, I see some hands going up. You know, I do art therapy and I paint and I'm like, wow, 4.5 hours went by. What the heck? That's presence. So in this moment, as I look around the room, I know that you guys all have things like that where you, time is not there, right? You're in your joy, your natural state of being, you're in full presence. And every time that you consciously notice that, oh, this feels really good. I'm in full alignment with who I am. I'm in the present moment. I'm not worrying about everything. I'm enjoying life. I'm in joy because I am joy. Every time you notice it, it kind of manifests more and more and more of that in your life. So that's a really big step, being present. I need a breather. I'm having so much joy up here. We're going to have a little sip of water. Because number two is this wonderful quote from our beloved Charles Fillmore is about being your true self. Reveal yourself to yourself. By affirming, I am the Christ, born of the living God. Look at yourself not as flesh and blood, but as spirit. Jesus Christ affirmed his true self, and we are called to do the same. Amen. Right? So I like to play with panda bears and drink water while I'm on camera, apparently. Because this is my true self. Now, when I read that, what really popped out and Spirit wanted me to focus on for you guys is the reveal yourself to yourself. That's spiritual enlightenment. That's spiritual awakening. That's the spiritual journey. Whatever label you want to put on it, it is about getting real with yourself. Then he says, I am the Christ, born of the living God. I would love it if you guys would affirm that with me right now on this Advent Sunday. Let's say it together. I am the Christ, born of the living God. You dare do it one more time with your hand on your heart? Maybe close your eyes. Just really feel into it. Let's be in ease. I am the Christ, born of the living God. And so it is. How's that feel? Let me hear words. Wonderful. Great. Peaceful. It's about time. Who said that? Yeah. David the pianist. Yeah. It is about time. So what is actually blocking us from living that truth, I am the Christ, in everyday life? Like, what's our deal? You know, in Eric Butterworth's book, Celebrate Yourself, he explains it is the ties that bind the mind. If you guys know me, you might know, sometimes I call that stinking thinking. And you take the stinking thinking and you turn it into a positive statement, a new thought. This is a new thought community. You take the negative, you turn it into the positive. That's how you start transforming into your true self. So you too can be up here on Sunday talking to people about it. Drinking water, having a panda bear, being in your joy. Okay? So when those ties are broken, the real self, and the real self has no limitations. I'm going to say that again from the back of the room. The real self has no limitations. None. So also in that quote, Charles points out, or he's giving us permission to be the Christ without apology. He's actually pushing us, urging us, be the Christ. I've worked with a lot of students over the years, and there's this recurrent thing where it's somewhere in the subconscious, just in the human experience, we are seeking someone to give us permission. Permission to move, permission to change, permission to be ourselves, permission to dye our hair flaming red, wear pleather pants. There's something in us inherently wanting permission. Charles Fillmore is giving us permission. I am the Christ born of the living God. And so are you. And you 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 and you. All right? All of us. And here's the thing about not being your true self. It takes an enormous amount of energy to not be yourself. It manifests sickness in our body, pain in our body, depression because we're living in the past, what happened. We have got anxiety about, oh my gosh, what's going to happen in an hour from now or 10 years from now. We're always in anxiety. So the number one step was, remember, be present. Number two, be yourself. Just be yourself. And honestly, I've discovered the more that I've been myself, it brings out, it like gives permission to other people to be themselves. Okay? And I used to like, I remember looking, I had someone 15 years ago think I was very conservative. And I was so offended. Like, what? No, I feel like this boho gypsy on the inside. What is going on? Because I was out of alignment. I was not my true self. That might resonate with a few of you, I'm suspecting. I'm not sure why. So be yourself. Be yourself. This is my favorite. I love the joy, but this last part, it is the most fun. Time spent laughing is time spent with the gods. Okay? Be childlike. Jump around on the stage. Enjoy. Sing. Wear your funny tie or cute tie. Don's wearing this really awesome tie. You know, cuddle the teddy bears that are sitting on the chairs. Give them love. Don't be afraid to have fun and laugh. Here's the thing about the childlike. It actually came to me in a vision at 3 a.m. So I'm a little tired. But it was worth it because the vision was showing me the purity of baby Jesus, which a lot of us are kind of thinking about right now, the birth of baby Jesus, who is showing us how to save ourselves. He's showing us how to be Christ-like. And in this vision at 3 a.m., do you guys want me to share it or not? It kind of went away. It's okay. I'm being my true self, and I'm a divine channel. So it was comparing it to the child in all of us, the purity. The child is always present. The child is always their true self. They're not trying to be something they're not. When they are sad, they express it. When they're happy and joyous, they express it. When they want something else, it is us as adults that have gotten like really serious. I got bills to pay. I got to drive this kid and drop him off here and there. And like, but baby Jesus is really showing us the joy and happiness and purity that we all are at our core. That's never gone away. It's there. It's there, I promise you. It's still there. Taking steps to reveal it again is the hard part. If it was easy, everyone would do it. So, has anyone heard of, and thank you, Mike, in the back. Has anyone heard of laugh therapy or laugh yoga? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys? So we're going to do a little experiment together. And you guys at 9:30 were like all about it, really joining in. So I want to hear us all. So Carl is going to do a little 10-second time, and we're all going to laugh. And no kind of hee-hee-hee laughs. I want a laugh. Let's light it up so that they can hear it on the video, okay? So, ready? Are you guys ready? Shake heads. Come on. I want to see those heads bobbing. Yeah, we're ready. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Reset every person in this room, and all we did was laugh. Be like a child. Be present. Be yourself in every way. The other weirdos can't find you, by the way, if you're trying to act like something that you're not. Okay? Just saying. And laugh. And laugh some more. And I had to look, because of who I am, I had to look on Mayo Clinic just to see laughing helps oxygen flow, stimulates heart, lungs, muscles, endorphins, relieves stress, pain, tension, improves the immune system, and the list went on. Okay? So if you don't use any other toy, laugh. Put it into your daily schedule. Because that 10 seconds, I'm telling you what, looking at the faces in the room and how I feel, everyone has shifted their energy from laughing 10 seconds. You guys are acting like it's hard. It's not hard to start shifting your energy and being happy and being in the joy. Because all the outside stuff happening in the world doesn't really matter. When you actually just go within you and start removing those ties that bind the mind. And you can do it. I know you can do it. So the Advent journey has been all about prepping us for rebirth of our Christ within. I think you guys are ready. I think we're all ready. You know, we've been learning to meet whatever comes our way in faith, stop resisting and receive peace, opening our hearts in love, and realizing our natural state of joy. So let yourself be born. Right now, in joyous truth, that you are the Christ. In this infinite presence, we call God. And no one and no thing can ever take your joy away. Joy is your natural state. So however you celebrate this week, whether it's Hanukkah and Happy Hanukkah, Christmas, Christmas Eve, Kwanzaa, maybe you're choosing to not celebrate, and that's a celebration for you. Just be yourself in whatever you choose to do or not do and be present in it, okay? So I believe we have one more slide, hopefully to affirm, because I forgot it at the 9:30. And I actually found this from the Daily Word way back, but it's so good. Please say it with me. Turning my attention inward to the Christ of my being, I rest in the peace of God. I let go of cares and concerns and entrust all to God. From within this inner sanctuary and awareness of God's presence, joy spontaneously arises and I am lifted up. And so it is.